want to create is some dad wins. And so Pastor Kenny and I thought that we would share with you all this morning some pro tips from our almost 60 years of the good, the bad, and the ugly of parenting. You know, one of the things that we understand is that not every guy here got from his dad what he really needed. Not every man here received that blessing and that encouragement. Some of us did, and that's so awesome. But some of us didn't. And the good news of the gospel is this. No matter what we may have received from our own family of origin and from our dads, there's a do-over. Yeah. And there's an opportunity for us to set a whole new legacy. Every guy here, whatever your background is, whatever your relationship is with your father, you have the potential to break the chain and to set a whole new legacy of faith and blessing.
That's awesome.
And we want to share a little bit with you some of the things that we've learned between us.
Yeah.
We've got six kids, two young men, four young ladies. We've got two daughters-in-law, one son-in-law, one little granddaughter, and we haven't done it all right.
Yes.
But we've learned some things.
Yes.
So, Pastor Kenny, from the wealth of all that God's built into you, what have you learned?
Well, before you get to the pro tips, you got to make a disclaimer and a confession, JP. And if you're going to select a dad for your children out of all the men on the planet, you might not want to start with the life of the party. Okay. That wouldn't be your first choice, it wouldn't be your second choice, wouldn't be your third choice, but God chose me to be a father, and so let's get that out there right away. And then secondly, I didn't really have a model. I was the last of seven, and my dad, he battled alcoholism, and he was mysteriously there, but not there, and maybe that resonates with some of you. My fathering journey was sort of like learning how to snowboard when you're an adult. Anybody learned how to snowboard as adults? Okay, so everybody starts on the bunny slopes, right? You got to go over to that section. It doesn't matter really how old you are, and it's foreign, and it's terrifying, and it's slippery, and you just kind of hope that you'll learn the basics, that if you can just do those things consistently, even after the first day of trying to do it, if you do it, you'll somehow be like those other people you see on the lift that are just kind of nicely gliding, you know, on the slopes. And that was my story. Fortunately for me, I started a relationship with Jesus my freshman year of college, and that's when I was really connected to the pro, where he started to show me through how he loved me, how I was going to love people, whoever they were, Chrissy, the kids, going forward. And so there's the pro tip of pro tips. Okay. Number one is to know Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. If you want to learn how to love better in relationships, learn from him. In 1 John 4:7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." And so to love others well, the best source for doing that is to be loved well. And then you can give away to others the right kind of love that they need so that they can get to their destination in God's intention. And so in my short time together, I just want to have a macro theme, and that is that smart dads and discipline themselves toward relationships. And they discipline themselves toward their key connections with God, with their wife, and then with their kids. And the reason why I say discipline toward relationship is because, you know, growing up, depending on what your model is, JP, it could be that, you know, I need to discipline myself toward my work, you know? Right. That's my identity. I'm the provider. I'm the, you know, the guy who has to get up. And you think primarily in those terms, but we all know, and you and I both know because we do a lot of funerals, that at the end of your life, it's not about the second home or the car you drove or what your direct deposit was on a biweekly basis. It was the quality of your relationships. That's what people talk about. And so what I want to do is I want to give one main tip and then a couple places of application. And my main tip is this. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. I must fight for my connections. And the reason I picked that word fight is because it means to contend and to battle physically in order to overcome. I mean, when you're in a fight, you don't want to lose, you want to win. And dads, When God gives you the gift of children, you have to contend and fight and overcome other forces that want to separate you from your key relationships to win the few key ones that give you a great experience in fathering. And the first relationship and connection you got to fight for is with your bride. You might want to write that down. Your spouse. If you're a single person, think of the people, or if you're a single parent, think of the first circle of relationships that you have that your kids are watching you do relationship in, okay? Fight for those and make sure that those are really solid. The other day, I was in my kitchen, I was getting ready for this message, and I actually asked Jenna, I said, "Hey, Jenna," she's my 21-year-old, and I said, "Was me loving mom a source of comfort for you?" And she didn't even say a word. She just gave me a look like, "Yes, of course." You know, the greatest comfort, guys, if you're married, is to love your kid's mother extremely well. It gives them peace. It gives them comfort. They're watching. They learn from you and how you relate to her how to serve another person, how to encourage another person with your words, how to forgive another person, how to resolve conflict, right? How to love another person. And what I love about the Bible is that God, as a father, gives us his coaching tips. And he speaks many times just directly to husbands. And in Malachi chapter 2, he talks about this guarding, this protecting of this relationship of a husband and wife by the man in the context of having children. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll unpack a couple points out of it. It says, "Another thing you do," and he's addressing the men in the community. He says, "You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It's because the Lord is the witness between you," listen, "and the wife of your youth. You've been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit, and what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard, and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Quote, the man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one," listen, "he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard, and do not be unfaithful." And so what I like about that, JP, and what all guys, especially if you're married and you have kids, should remember is that there's this picture of guarding that relationship with your wife, but it's in the context of God seeking to build a family for you. And so it uses this language, so be on your guard, so be on your guard, don't be unfaithful. And faithfulness starts in here, and it starts in your actions.
Yeah.
And so the prize that you're after primarily if you're leading a family and if you have children is this, and if you're taking notes, write this down. You're after emotional intimacy with your wife. Now, you'd think, since we're talking about dads, like, no, let's talk about parenting, and let's go right to that relationship first. But the one relationship that they're watching as their primary model is the husband and the wife. And so make that your first priority as
That's
your foundation.
Yeah.
Right, as the foundation. That's exactly right. All right. Now, second is your relationship with your baby. So first your bride and then your babies, okay? In the scripture, what I love is that there's this picture, JP, of kind of the God the Father, and there's a destination for his children, and he's carrying them to a destination and a place of blessing. And he says this to his children in Deuteronomy 1. He says, "Then I said to you, don't be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you," and here's the picture, "as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place." And so you look at fatherhood sort of as synonymous with leadership. Break those two words apart. Leader and ship. Dads, your kids have punched a ticket aboard your leadership. And it's your job to carry them to a place, to a destination, where they reach their fullness as women, fullness as men, and then you drop them off. And JP's going to drill down on that in his time with us this morning. But I love that picture. You know, how many of you dads have ever carried your kids on your shoulders? Anybody? Okay, it's this thing that we do, and it's a natural response. Your kids want to get on your shoulders, and they like for you to carry them, and they can see what you see, and they can feel how you feel, and they can feel tall physically. But the metaphor is of a destination, and then a father carrying his children to that destination. God has an appointed destination for your children. He's made by him, they're made by him, they're made for him, they're going to him, but in between now and then, there's some things, there's some destinations that they're gonna reach here on earth, and your job is to get them there. So, I must fight for my connections, first with my bride, spouse, or from a single person, my first circle, and the prize there, win emotional intimacy, that's the foundation. And then second, you fight for your connection with your kids. Now, in that process, it's easy, and JP also is gonna, I love what you're gonna talk about coming forward, is not to wear them out in your parenting. And so that's what it says in Ephesians 6:4. I'm gonna kinda hit the top level of Ephesians 6:4. JP is gonna really drill down on it in his section. But it says this: fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So let's just go real practical. What does that look like? It's easy for dads to kind of project their own issues that they have onto their kids. You know, it's either all rules and no relationship, okay? Or all relationship and no rules. Yeah. And you're going to talk about that, JP. But here's some easy handles. And I want you to say the next three fill-ins after me. Let's everybody join in with the dads. Everybody say, I model.
I model.
I mentor.
I mentor.
And I message.
I message.
That's right. And you know, modeling still is the number one teaching tool for every dad. It's not what you say. It's how you live. And you give away what you actually possess in real time and in real actions to your kids. All right? So dads, you want your kid to love Jesus? Love Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. You want your kids to read the Bible? Spend time in the Bible. You want your kids to have a good marriage? Invest in your marriage. You want your kids to be pure? Be pure yourself. Talk to them about that. You want them to be good people? Be a good person, okay? That's modeling, and there's no substitute for it. There's no words. They're just watching you, and they're watching to see if you'll be consistent, okay? Then there's mentor, okay? And that's just coaching. You know, when the kids were little, you served your kids. All right. When they're in the kind of out of the diapers, then you train your kids. But then when they get into the junior high school, now you're coaching them. Now they're crossing bridges and entering situations where you got to kind of preempt and you got to tell them what's coming and you have to advise them. And that's what mentoring is all about. Where you've been there. Maybe you did it well. Maybe you didn't do it well. Maybe you can share from your life, or maybe you can give them some advice to save them some pain. But that's the next step, is first you model, then you mentor, and then notice what is third? Now it's message. It's not message, mentor, model. It's model, mentor, and then message. Now you can talk, all right? Now we get to the words part, because you're living it out, you're coaching them in it, and now it's just like, now we're really fine-tuning and we're messaging them, okay? It's the third one on purpose. But that old adage, and we hear this all the time, especially when it comes to fathering, don't do as I do as I say. Okay, that's as stupid as it sounds. Okay, it's as stupid as it sounds. Okay, kids are smarter than that. They're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, I see your life. And so how do you do that though? Those are nice principles, okay, that work when you're parenting kids. Model for them, mentor them, coach them, and then message values, priorities, principles, that relate to God and how to relate to other people. But how do you do that? And you do it through three words that all begin with T. Everybody say time.
Time.
Talk.
Talk.
And touch.
Touch.
Right. Now, each one of those words, how do kids spell love from a dad? They spell it T-I-M-E. They spell it T-A-L-K. They spell it T-O-U-C-H. All of those are love languages that kids desperately need from you, dad. They need your time. And you see, the hard thing as a dad, where you are juggling a lot of things and you got to go to work, and then you got to take care of the house, and you got these projects that you're doing, is to battle and say, I got to pick my battles. I got to pick my times. You know, I remember coming home from work. I used to have this thing I called flaps down. You know when a plane lands, it slows down and the wings come out before it lands, right? So it can get to almost stall speed so it can land safely. Coming home, I remember getting to Robinson Ranch Road and I just start praying. I'm like, okay, this is my time. I gotta enter the house and I gotta be on. It doesn't. My kids don't care what happened at work, all right? And neither does my wife. All right, she needs help, and my kids need me, and I'm like jonesing, no pun intended, to hear, hey, Dad, you know, and just kind of jump in and then and get into the fray, get into the mix. That's my time before bed. That's my time. Bath time. That's my time. You know, going to the pool during the summer. That's my time. Dads, you got to pick your times. Mm-hmm. Second, it's talk. You know, when a dad that your kids, by the way, naturally idealize. It doesn't matter what life you've lived up to the point. If you're a dad, your kids idealize you. When you get down on their level and you talk with them, you know, as little kids, read stories, you know, ask them how their day went, pray over them, that's huge. And that talk, it communicates love, all right? Third is touch, appropriate touch. You know, I mean, man, my son's 25. My daughter's 27, my other daughter's 21, and they know where to go to get love and scratchers, okay? That's Jenna, she just laughed. They come sit in my lap, they know, and you know what's great? My son is now stronger than me and bigger than me. He gives it back. Back massages, whole nine yards. Oh, it feels so good, you know? But dads, if you don't appropriately give your kids time, spend time talking with them, and touching them appropriately, they're gonna get it somewhere else. And it's not gonna be from you. If they don't get it in their first community of acceptance, they'll go find a second community mm-hmm. of acceptance that will provide the things that you're not providing. And so, dads, if you have kids in the house, just remember, model, mentor, message, time, talk, and touch. Now, the prize of fighting for your connection with your wife is emotional intimacy. You're filled there. The prize for time, talk, and touch with your kids is emotional security. You say, Kenny, what do you mean? If your kids don't feel and receive and internalize from you worth and peace, they get anxious. And when your kids are anxious about their own worth and their own peace, and they're not getting it from home, they'll go try to find it in peer groups, from boys or from girls that may give it to them the wrong way, mm-hmm. from affiliations or expressions, where the bottom line is they want acceptance and they'll go to whatever well they gotta go to get that identity and that acceptance and that belonging. And so you secure them emotionally, dads, so that they have the best chance. There's great parents who do all that right, and your kid can look you in the face and just go, I hate you, okay? But I'm saying that you can give them the best chance, communicate love to them, and that secures them on the inside. And secure in their dad's love, they can then walk out into the world knowing who they are, knowing that they're loved, and not have to play to the other sources of unhealthy love, all right? Now, how does God model what we're talking about? I like to always go to Matthew 3 at the baptism of Jesus, okay? And in Matthew 3, 16 and 17, the Bible records this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And then listen to this language. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What does God model for us? I want us all to say it together. Everybody say strong moments.
Strong moments.
Strong name.
Strong name.
Strong love.
Strong love.
Strong blessing.
Strong blessing.
Parents, what do your kids need? They need strong moments. They need a strong name. They need strong love, and they need a strong blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, JP, you're going to talk about the names you gave your kids. You know, each one of my kids kind of had a little nickname that I gave them. Of course, they were my son or my daughter, but they know their names, you know. And you got to have those moments. You got to seize those moments publicly where you declare. And there's that spirit between father and child where it's just like, I love you, you're mine, and I'm pleased with you, I'm proud of you. Just to kind of put this whole thing to the test one time, I wrote on a sticky note, and I love you, son. This was to Ryan. I'm proud of you. And you have mad skills. I had to juice it up a little bit, you know, put it in his language. You have mad skills. And a couple days later, I put it on his desk, and a couple days later, I walked into his room, and I'm like, what do you do with the sticker, man? And he didn't talk to me, didn't give me any feedback. And then I'm kind of looking around his room, and all of a sudden, I see on his shelf, on the top shelf, right where he studies, in a frame, that post-it note. That's how your children look at you, Dad. Your words are powerful. And so I looked at that and I went, man, every one of us needs that. Every person, every man, every woman, every child, okay? So at Crossline, we're committed to strong men who are strong dads, who lead strong families. And that's why on July 2nd, if you're a dad, we have a class, Leading a Family. We the greatest gift JP and I feel we can give to the women and children of our church and to this community is a spiritually strong, emotionally grown up, and relationally committed man. Amen, Pastor?
Amen.
So whether you're on the bunny slope, okay, like me, or whether you're kind of intermediate, or whether you're a little bit further along in your dad journey, come together with a community of men and learn how to lead your family and love your family like God leads and loves you. Now, I get to transition it to one of my mentors. And dads, I'm going to encourage you to listen in to Pastor JP as he shares the gold.
The gold stuff of parenting, yes. First of all, you know why we got the best men's pastor in the country here? Is that good stuff? Great stuff. Thank you. And it's so funny. You know, when you tag team, this is a little backstory. When you tag team teaching, sometimes people get together and they compare all their stuff and they want to make it all flow. I just said, Kenny, you and I are going to do this. You speak the first part. I'll speak the second part. And it's amazing how what we came up with so dovetails on one another's comments. And it's just because it's God's word.
Yes.
And it's God's word lived out through imperfect people. Yeah. But it's God's word, which that's just a word maybe for every guy here. You don't have to have it all together.
Amen.
In fact, none of us do. I mean, that's the whole message of the gospel, because we don't have it together.
That's right.
That's why Jesus came and died on a cross and rose from the dead and offers forgiveness to any of us and do-overs to any of us. Yeah. Also, it's never too late to start. Yeah. It's not like, oh, this is great stuff before I start my family. Your kids may already be grown. You may apply this to being a grandpa.
Yeah.
Or they may be somewhere in the middle. It's just never too late just to begin to put into practice the truth that can really change our life and the grace that can really set us free. Kenny, you said that you probably wouldn't be the most qualified person being the life of the party guy. Right. So neither would I be qualified because when I met my wife, Donna, and she called her mom to let her know that she'd met this guy, you got to figure this is at the end of the 70s, and I had long hair and a beard, and she was describing me to her mom, and this was my mother-in-law's first two questions. Is he safe? And the second one, is he clean? So being questioned on my safety and my cleanliness was the start of becoming part of that family and us starting our own family. Also, I didn't receive from my dad the things that I've learned and tried to put into practice. My dad died when I was just a little kid. My father was an angry man. I don't have a whole lot of memories of him, but I do remember that he struggled with his own demons of becoming the man he wanted to be. My mom, bless her heart, raised three of us. I'm the youngest of three kids and was a single mom raising us, and then my mom remarried. My stepdad, a solid guy, veteran, three-war veteran, but emotionally distant. So I didn't receive either from my dad or my stepdad what it really meant to have God's love in my life and what it meant to be a nurturer and someone who was authentic.
Because your stepdad wasn't a Christian.
No, was not a believer, So these are things that I've learned because I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And that's why I say there's hope for every guy here. Yeah. And Kenny's first point, the pro tip above all pro tips, cross the line and give your life to Jesus. Yeah. Because then God's love can come into your life and you become part of a new community where you can be reparented by models and by men who are in the journey with you. So with that as a backdrop, I got three pro tips for parenting. Here's the first one. It's called parenting with the end in mind. Now, if that sounds familiar, I borrowed it from Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about living with the end in mind. Well, we need a parent with the end in mind. That comes right out of Proverbs chapter 22, where it says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when they're old, they won't depart from it.
Right.
Train up a child. That word to train is a Hebrew word that means to dedicate. It means to start something on a path so that it will continue to follow that path. And one of the things about this word, Kenny, as I was looking it up, it actually was used in Hebrew culture where the dad would take figs and crush them and dates and crush them and make a paste and then put it in the baby's mouth on the palate. And then what that would cause was the baby would start this natural sucking motion. And that was the way they established a baby to be able to nurse at their mother's breast.
Right.
So the idea behind training is actually moving a child towards a direction. Yeah. See, culture has a direction for our children. This culture has a direction it wants to take our kids. With what's going on in our school system, here in the state of California, there's a direction they want to take our children. What God is saying as dads is we're to be the ones who set that direction.
That's right.
We're to be the ones who train up a child in the way that they should go. And we don't have to guess at what that direction is. This is why God's word is so powerful. There's a clear direction here for every dad.
Thank God.
There's hundreds and hundreds of promises and statements of truth that God has for his children. In fact, we know in the New Testament, it says the Apostle Paul, just talking about his ministry of sharing the gospel, is that he said, we preach Jesus and we admonish everyone and we teach everyone so that they can become complete in Jesus.
Right.
What God wants for your children, my children, your children, is they become complete in Jesus. Now that gets unpacked in a lot of various ways. I know for me as a dad, when we had our three kids, we dedicated them to the Lord. Prayed for them. I know you did that with your kids as well. We recently had, a new grandbaby, 7 month old now, my granddaughter. And when we were in the waiting room, when my daughter-in-law was going into labor, Chuck and Lori Marshall, they're Becca's parents. We were all together. And when Becca delivered our granddaughter Hallie, Chuck and I walked back into the delivery room, and we picked up Hallie together. And together we prayed over her and dedicated her to the Lord, to the way that she should go. And just like with my children, there was a Bible verse that I claimed for each of them. There was a Bible verse I claimed for Hallie. So with my son, I claimed Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. And then with my daughter Kylie, I claimed 1 Peter chapter 3, put on the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. And then with my daughter Ashton, I claim Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And so with Hallie, I claimed Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So these Bible verses, they've become like direction, the direction for my children to go that I've prayed for and that I've tried to adjust my parenting and now my grandparenting around. So parenting with the end in mind starts with having that direction. Now, I'd have to say that's probably the easiest part. Because the Bible is real clear of all these promises and blessings and directions that he has for our lives. Here's the second part of it. It's the harder part. That's actually parenting with the end in mind, making decisions around that goal, making daily decisions as a parent, what to say yes to, what to say no to, what situations to allow your child to be in, what situations not to allow them to be in, what experiences you create for your child, what experiences you try to protect your child from. When do you hold them close to you, and when do you let them go? But all of those decisions, I mean, throughout the myriad of, think about baby, toddlerhood, sending them off to school, seeing them go through puberty, dealing with them as teenagers, sending them off to college, seeing them become young adults, all of the different life experiences, it's parenting, it's making decisions in light of that goal, you see. That's parenting with the end in mind, but the great promise of Proverbs is you train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't depart from it. See, God has a way of using his word to work itself into our lives. So, first pro tip, parent with the end in mind. Here's the second pro tip. It's really building off what you said, Kenny. Yeah. It's as a dad, create a family atmosphere of healthy bonding and boundaries. A healthy atmosphere of healthy bonding and boundaries. You know, study after study after study tells us this. Dads are the ones who create the tone and culture of a family. It's not in any way minimizing the role of mom. It's not trying to say that our wives are not significant. It's just saying that with children, the influence of the father is what sets the kind of tone and personality of the entire family. Now, unfortunately, that can work for evil.
For the negative.
For the bad. But positively, it can work for the good. And that's why God's word has these charges to us as dads as to the role that we can really play with our children and in the family. In fact, it says this in Ephesians 6. Pastor Kenny read this verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There's like a do and don't. So the don't is don't exasperate your children. Another Bible translation translates the same term as don't provoke to anger. The idea is this. If I poked you enough, pretty soon you'd get ticked off, and that's what comes out. So as dads, we can poke our kids in ways that provoke them rather than empower them.
That's good.
We can do that through shaming words. Yeah. We can do that through an angry tone of voice. We could do that through neglect. We could actually do it through overindulgence. I think there's a shift even in our culture. I see this in our culture around us. I call it familyolatry, where we've made the family an idol, and you have parents who overindulge their children, and what's happening is they're raising a bunch of narcissists. So you can provoke a child either positively or negatively, but the Bible says don't do it. Instead, raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And those two words are great words because training is a word, it's a word that means coaching, correction, discipline. It's the full gamut of forming the personality of a baby, a toddler, a young person into a healthy adult. And so we are, as dads, to train up our children in the instruction of the Lord, helping them think in a way, because that word instruction is a word that means the way you look at life, the worldview that you have, to think in such a way where Jesus is at the very center. Yeah. So God calls us as dads, as the frontline disciple makers of our children. And we've talked about this a lot because this is why we value so much men's ministry role of men. Southern Baptists have done a study where they tracked children and their connection to church. And as awesome as a role as moms play, they've discovered that when moms are the primary connector of a family to a church, those children, when they grow up to become adults, only about 7% of them continue to stay with the Lord. In a family where dad is the primary connector of the family to the church, over 90% of those children grow up to continue follow Jesus. Dads, God basically says we are the primary spiritual influences on our children. And so what we are to do is to create this atmosphere of bonding and boundaries. Bonding and boundaries. Bonding has to do with relationship. It's all about relationship. So from day one, man, we are hugging those babies, we are kissing those babies, we are speaking words of tenderness into them, we're loving them, we're covering them. with kisses. We just watched our granddaughter for the weekend. My son and my daughter-in-law went away to celebrate their anniversary. So we had Hallie for several days. And there's a reason why God made parents young. I just want to tell you that. But I think I counted up over the last 2-3 days. I think Hallie received 5,392 kisses. I mean, in fact, funny. We had the baby monitor. I had the baby monitor next to my bed, and Hallie started crying a little bit at one point in time, and Donna got up with her. And notice how I said that. Donna got up with her. Yeah, but the baby monitor was next to my head. But my wife got up with her, and so I could hear her crying, and then I hear out of the baby monitor. So, I mean, whether it's your grandbaby or whether it's your baby, you just want to smother those children with kisses. That bonding, and you talked about God created us as dads to kind of physically involve themselves with our kids. There are so many fun ways you do that. One of the things we did, you probably had different names for it, Kenny, but I had a thing with my kids where I called the daddy cage. I'd lay them down on the floor, and I'd kind of get on top of them, and I'd go, oh, you got to get out of the daddy cage. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my son's over 6 feet. How could he ever be in the daddy cage? I don't know, but one time he was. So they'd try to crawl to get out of the daddy cage. We used to do this thing called sack of potatoes where I'd grab their feet, and I'd grab their hands, and I'd swing them up in the air and swing them all the way up onto my shoulder. That's why I have back problems today. I did a thing out in the pool. You talked about the strategic times in the pool. We had a thing called the human shot put.
Did
you do that?
Yeah.
You get them up into a cannonball and
they you go and push them right toward the stairs.
Just
like swim or drown.
That's it.
Yeah, you got to move those legs.
So there, you just all of this touching and the hugging. And in fact, just this weekend, you know, my daughter now, who's 27, she was talking and we were in the kitchen. And all the family was around, and I just came up behind her, and I just gave her a big hug. And I don't know, she never tried to pull away.
Yeah.
We're just standing there talking and having this extended conversation, and it's just dad is hugging his daughter. Yeah. You see, you never outgrow the bonding of children. And it creates a security.
Yeah.
Where your children, they feel love. They know God loves them. They know that you love them. And they internalize that love into their lives. And that's what strengthens them. But with the bonding, there's also boundaries. You see, children need to have boundaries. Whether they're babies or toddlers or school age or teenagers or young adults. The boundaries are what help a person understand what's mine and what's yours. What's right and what's wrong. What's truth and what's error. And we used to, with our kids, Kenny, and I think you might have done the same thing, we always gave them an out. We always said they can blame mom and dad. If they were in a situation and their peers were trying to pressure them to do something that they knew they shouldn't do, they could blame us.
Yeah.
They could say we're the bad guys, and so that they wouldn't feel embarrassed, they could kind of put it all...
Sleepovers.
All on us. Hey, I remember when Kylie had a sleepover, and we get a call because they were going to show a movie that she knew was not appropriate. And the people called us and said, your daughter has told us that this movie is not appropriate, and she wanted us to talk to you about it. And so we put her on. I had Kylie on the phone, and she said, Dad, I don't think it's a good movie for me to watch. I said, okay. I put the guy back on the phone, and I said, thank you very much, but we don't want our daughter watching that. And he said, thank you. And then the dad said, you know what? And there was a little silence on the phone, and he said, I just want to thank you that you would do that with your daughter. I should be doing that.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's the boundaries that we need to teach our children, because you got to be able to say no.
That's right.
And as kids learn that at home, that gives them the moral strength when they get out into those real life situations to be able to say no in relationship to their own personal, spiritual, and emotional struggles. So creating a family atmosphere of healthy bonding and healthy boundaries is part of what we do as dads. That's the second pro tip. And here's the third one. Here's the last one. Pray them up, coach them up, and send them out. Pray them up, coach them up, and send them out. So whether you're a dad at the very beginning of your journey begin praying for your kids. Your dad and your kids are little, pray for them. Your dad and your kids are teenagers, pray for them. Your dad and your kids are young adults, pray for them. Your dad and your kids are having their own families, pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray for your kids from the beginning all the way till you don't pray anymore and you yourself are with the Lord in heaven. Because we know that God hears and answers prayer. And when we pray, we're inviting God into the very center of what matters most, this great calling of being dads. And when we pray, we're acknowledging that God has a plan. And that's the best plan. We're actually putting into practice that Proverbs 22 passage, training up in the way that they should go. And kids need to see us pray for them. One of the best things that I ever did as a dad, and it kind of just accidentally landed in it, is when Taylor was born, and I would come home from work and help Donna with the kind of just parenting stuff. I remember one time she just said, "Would you put Taylor to bed?" And as I did, I just rubbed his back and I prayed for him and I read him a little Bible story, and then I just said, "This is my time.
Right.
This is what I want to do." And so from all of the raising of my kids, all the way till we sent them out, I prayed for my kids every night. Go into the room, rub their backs, talk to them, read them a Bible story, pray for them. In fact, and I shared this with you, Pastor Kenny, I remember when my daughter Kylie got married. I was so excited that she got married. She picked a great guy. But the last night before the wedding, she's there at home. We walked into her room.
Oh.
She got in bed. I just rubbed her back. I talked to her about tomorrow. She's getting married. And I prayed for her. I walked back to my room, and I remember just bawling.
You lost it.
Because I thought, this is the last time I'm going to be able to do this with my daughter. See, when you pray for your kids and they hear you pray for them, it's a blessing. It connects you to them. So you pray them up. You coach them up. You talked about this, Kenny, all these kind of natural moments of the life of a child where you're speaking in them. That's our role as dads, by the way. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about his spiritual ministry of discipleship, and he looks for a model to, like, what is the most human model of actually discipling somebody, and he picks fathering, and he says, like a father, we were encouraging and comforting and urging you to walk in a manner worthy of God's calling. Those three terms. He says encouraging, comforting, and urging. They're words that have this truth and grace kind of combination. Some with a little more truth than grace, some with a little more grace than truth. But basically it's saying sometimes in the life of our children, the best thing we can do is just come and just give them a hug and put our arm around them. And sometimes it's kind of hand on the shoulder and then just encouragement. Sometimes it's, hey, look me in the eye and let me say this to you. Sometimes it's getting behind them and kick them in the butt. But it's basically speaking those words that coach our kids up. And think about all the different experiences that kids have.
So many.
And so many, when you go off to school for the first time and the feelings that kids might have, or when they're starting to date someone, or when you have that talk about the birds and the bees, or when you show them how to manage their finances for the first time, or when you help them set up their own household, or with me now helping them begin that parenting journey themselves. You see, all of those are coachable moments. And we want to take advantage of those coachable moments, because we pray them up and we coach them up and then we send them out. And that begins, by the way, at a very early age.
Yeah.
If you think about when your little baby goes from scooting and spinning around to kind of crawling to touching things and moving, and then you hold their hands and then you let them go and they walk across the room for the first time, you're sending them off. When you drop them off to school for the very first time, you're sending them off. When they go on their very first date, you're sending them off. When you drive them to college and see them walk away and you drive off bawling like a baby, you're sending them off. When you have the privilege, as some of us have had and will have, of walking your daughter down the aisle and giving her hand to another young man who's going to be the most important man in their life, you're sending them off, you see. This verse really came to life for me as I've gone through some of those stages. This is what it says in Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior.
Yeah,
you think about
picture.
This picture of a warrior, yeah. And he's got these arrows. He doesn't just let them stay back there. He takes them out. They're arrows in the hands of a warrior. And what does a warrior do with those arrows? He pulls the bow back and then lets it go. You see, we are parenting our children to send them off.
That's right.
Which goes back to the very first pro tip I said, which is parent with the end in mind. We're sending them off yeah. to be healthy adults. We're sending them off to be young men and women who love God and love themselves yeah. and love others. We're sending them off to be world changers. But if we want to send off our children to be world changers, then we need to yeah. be models of that ourselves. That's, right. That's what you talked yeah. about, yeah. Pastor Kenny. None of us are perfect parents. There's no man in this room that has everything that he needs to be the kind of father that God wants him to be. But God can do miracles in our
Amen.
Lives. God
Amen.
Can do miracles in our lives. And God wants to use every dad here to be a chain breaker and to be a legacy lifter. And so in line with what we've been yeah. talking about, we want to dedicate every dad here to the Lord. And so if we could have every father in this room just come on up to the very front of the stage here, Pastor Kenny wants to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Could we have all the dads come yeah. up to the front?
Yeah.
We can keep the applause going for these men.
Amen. Amen. Love it. Love it.
Come on, wherever you are, dads, come on up to the front.
Keep coming forward. And for those of you who remain seated, you're going to be a part of this as well. You're going to extend your hand as we pray. Let me talk to the men here for a second. We live in a time where masculine strength is being attacked. And strength isn't the issue. The issue is, do you have the character and the compassion to match your strength? To use it to bless other people. And so, doesn't matter if you're a grandpa, doesn't matter if you're a dad right now, if your kids are grown or they're still in your house, is that God has called you to be an influencer of children. And so with that, I want everybody out there to extend their hands toward these men right now. And then men, I want you to be in a posture of reception. Just open your hands like this. And I just want to speak the words of the Father over you in this moment. In this moment, God the Father would say, you are my son, who I love, and in you I am well pleased. And he loves you because that's his nature. And he loves you not because of what you do or what you've done or what you haven't done. He loves you because you're created by him, to be loved by him and fathered by him. And so, Father, we address you the way we do because, Jesus, that's how you told us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. So, Lord, with these men before us, with grandpas and with grown children, with tiny babies, with teenagers and middle schoolers and elementary school. Lord, I pray for the mantle that you have given uniquely to these men. Father, I pray specifically for those who think it's too late for them.
Yes.
God, would you redeem their thinking? That it's never too late to serve. It's never too late to encourage. It's never too late to forgive. It's never too late to model the gospel in front of other people, especially those who have our blood. And Lord, I pray for those who have children in the home. I pray, Father, that you would fill each dad with the Holy Spirit, whether he's single or whether he's married. That he would reflect the Spirit of Christ. Jesus, that you would live through him to love his wife and to love his children. to communicate that love through thinking about the end as he's living today. God, to pray for his children, to seize his moments. God, I pray for each man here in front of this stage that he would seize his moments. God, that he would say no to himself, to say yes to the children you've given him in his life. If his heart's beating, God, that he would step into that space. And because of his love for you and you showing him how to love, that he would love the people in his life and cover and protect and bless the children that are connected to him. God, we know that we have a long way to go. But Lord, we trust you. So thank you for being our model. Lord Jesus, thank you for saying no to yourself and yes to the cross. Thank you for paying a price to win the prize of relationship with us. God, continue to do that through us. And by your grace, call us into being great dads and great mentors and great models, Lord. Not because of what we do, but because of you powerfully at work in us. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, man.